All right, let's start again. We're on page 368. It's Mizmar Mem, we're up to Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit says, Ritzei Hashem lahatzileni. Ritzei, may you favor me, Hashem, to save me. Hashem li ezrasi chusha. Hashem, come to my salvation swiftly. Okay, you don't want to wait your whole life for salvation. You need the salvation at the right time. Pasuk tezvav, yevoshu v'yachbedu yachad. Yevoshu means to be embarrassed. The word v'yachperu is also, it also means to be embarrassed. Two different words which mean pretty much the same thing. Now at least in my limited vocabulary, in the Mitzudos David, he says yevoshu. He doesn't even translate. Would you believe he doesn't even translate the words at all? Pasuk tezvav. Okay, but these are two words which mean pretty much the same thing. Maybe we'll see the Radach, he'll say a little bit different, but yachad. Yachad means entirely. Yachad means together, but in this context, yachad means may my enemies be thoroughly, entirely put to shame. Mevakshei nafshi, those who want to take my life. Lispoisa yisogu ochar. Now, what is the word lispoisa? It means to swallow it up. Okay, in the Mitzudos Tzion, it says what lispoisa means, lichaloisa, to completely consume it. Kamo sasa behemos, it means to like a sponge. A sponge, it absorbs liquid. Likewise, they want to absorb, thoroughly absorb my existence into nothingness. Okay, it's an expression. I don't really know more than that. We had before. But David said about his enemies, ki gershuni hayoy mehistapeach benachalas Hashem. Mehistapeach. Is that the same word? It could be that's the same word. Mehistapeach. They want to prevent me from being able to absorb the nachal of Hashem. In that context, word mehistapeach, it's a positive word. That my enemies want to prevent me from me being able to absorb the sanctity.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading now 368 Pasuk Tesvav.
Yeah. Where was it, this last comment from?
The last comment. I'm reading the word lispoisa.
Yeah.
Lispoisa. They want to completely consume me. In this context, what lispoisa means, to destroy. But what does it literally mean? What's the literal meaning? It's not, there are many words that say destroy. There's no shortage of words. The word literally over here means to absorb.
So it's like the word self, to end.
Right.
Okay, to end, but it's more than just end, because like, right.
Yeah, so if you end something, it is no longer.
All right, you want to see that it comes from the word end. Okay, fine. Okay, they want those who want to put me to an end. Those people who want to put me to an end, yisogu ochor, may they retreat. Okay, yisogu ochor means backwards, and the word yisogu means to return. Okay, may they return backwards. Okay, next, if yikalmu, may they be put to shame. Again, another word. We have here in this pasuk, chafetzei rasi, those who seek my evil. There are three words in this pasuk which mean embarrassment. Yevoshu, number one. Number two, v'yachperu. Number three, v'kolmu. Three words which mean embarrassment. And David is applying these words to his enemies. And he says, Hashem, may yachad, may they be entirely put to shame. Not just partially, entirely. He calls his enemies those that are mevakshei nafshi. He calls enemies lispoisa, those who want to put an end to me. And his request is that they should retreat. Yisoygu achar, they should turn backwards. And who are his enemies? His enemies are called on one hand mevakshei nafshi and chafetzei ra'asi. So you have to divide this pasuk over here into all of its different parts. It's a very complex pasuk, and we have to break down everything into its parts. So let's do it again. How does this pasuk define evil people? How does David here in this pasuk define his enemies? We have two different expressions. One expression is chafetzei ra'asi, those who seek my evil, those who seek that I should be overcome with ra. Number two, he describes enemies with the word mevakshei nafshi. Okay, two different terms. And what does he want to happen to these people? He wants them to become embarrassed. And what are the words? Yevoshu v'yachberu and v'kalmu. With regard to Yevoshu v'yachberu, he says the word yachta, which means entirely. Okay, and I left out one. And how does he define his enemies? I left out one word. There are really three terms that David uses to define his enemies. Number one, he calls them mevakshei nafshi. Number two, he calls them chafetzei rasi. And he calls lisfaisa. Lisfaisa, well, that goes part of the mevakshei nafshi lispaisa. Those who seek my neshama to bring it to an end. There are some people who seek your neshama to elevate the neshama, to do good to the neshama, to reward the neshama. And there are those who seek out the neshama to destroy the neshama. My enemies, they seek my neshama for one purpose only, to destroy it. And he calls them those who want to bring upon me ra. And my request is they should be put to shame and they should retreat. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Tezayin, Yoshomu al Ekev Boshtam. Yoshomu is a fourth word, which they will, it means that, let's say, show me, they should be obliterated. Shemama, obliteration. May my enemies be thoroughly obliterated. Let's first see the mitzvahs. We'll come to Rashi soon. Let's do one thing at a time. Shemimim, they should be put to shame for what they've done to me. Al Ekev Bashtam. Ekev means because of the their attempt to put me to shame. When you put a person to shame, that's a terrible, terrible avera. Sometimes it's even worse than causing a person physical harm when you put them to shame. So they should be punished with utter obliteration.
That's considered like murder.
Shvichas damim. Okay, may they be put to shame al ekev, because al ekev here means because of boshtam, the embarrassment that they brought upon me. Ha'oimrim li, my enemies who said about me, he'och, he'och. We have this in the kinois very often, which means hippipure. Okay, it's an expression hippipure. A Jew should never say hippipure, because hippipure was said by the crusaders as they killed Jews. They were taking joy, hippipure.
In Yerushalayim,
when the crusaders finally reached Yerushalayim, they said hippipure. It was an expression of joy that came out of their mouths as they were murdering Jews. So for a Jew to take that expression and say hip hip hooray, it's ignorance. He doesn't know what he's saying. It's like people. I remember my father's one of Racha. I remember the look on his face when it was during the Persian Gulf War. It was the Persian Gulf, the first Persian Gulf War. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were putting on gas masks. Remember those days? There were Scots. Saddam Hussein sent 39 Scots, and people were really, really terrified. And they went to the Cheder Otum, they put on a gas mask, and they had on the nightly news, they were interviewing people who were in their Cheder Otum wearing the gas masks. Jews, and they would, are you okay? How do you feel? What is the frame of mind? And this Jew said, we're keeping our fingers crossed. So the person, he didn't know what he was saying.
It's hard to mug and double your fingers.
So that means you make it Salem. Okay, what does the expression mean by a goyim? It means you make it Salem. It means you cross your fingers, like instead of you do the whole spiel with your head up and down, and you make it Salem, so you cross your fingers. You make it sell, you leave in Yashka. Yashka's going to come to save you. How can a Jew...
You're hoping for the best.
Obviously, that's what it means. It means it's been transformed. It means by the average person, they don't even know what it means. It means you're hoping for the best. But what does it really mean? Where did this expression come from? It means a guy is in a lot of trouble and he's putting his faith in Yashka, that Yashka is going to come and save him. So it's an expression. But if you know what the expression is, a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, and even a Jew that's not a Shema Torah Mitzvahs, would be a fool to say such an expression. Okay, to say keeping your fingers crossed. But not everyone knows, you know, there are many expressions that we don't know where they come from, whatever, it happens. Idioms, these expressions.
Oh my gosh.
What's wrong with that?
The definition is, it means instead of oh my God, you say my gosh because you don't want to say his name.
Right, that's good. That's good. You don't want to say the Shem Hashem. G-O-D. To say G-O-D is not so simple. Some hold it's obviously halacha l'maaseh. People say it all the time, but it's not so simple to say it's a kinui for Hashem. Just like you don't say yudkei vavkei, you don't say elokim. The Hashem and Shema Shem nimchakim. So there's a sensitivity. People, yeah, the people.
There are some expressions also that this is also good. We say nishke shteigin, nishke foigin.
Yeah, it doesn't make.
Nishke shteigin, nishke foigin.
What does that mean?
So Rav David Cohn says that, you know, it means basically never happened.
Right.
But really, you know, they believe that he rose up on the third day and flew away. So we say nishke shteigin, nishke foigin.
He didn't rise up, he didn't fly away. Excellent. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's saying the meaning of that expression, nishkoigin, nishkoflaigin. It means yashka. Yash, they said that he rose up and he flew away. He never rose up. Nishkoflaigin. So it's a reference, it's an expression of leitzanis regarding yashka.
Right.
So we use it to refer to a leitzanis regarding anything that's baloney. Okay, what is it in baloney? Where does that expression come from, baloney? Everything has a source. You know, you can spend the whole day. There are books and so many things. There are a lot of apps. If you want to learn expressions, there are a lot of very geschmack apps on you can download on the Play Store that every day you learn a couple of expressions. It's fascinating. So these idioms. Idioms and expressions. So over here,
abracadabra also.
So what's abracadabra mean?
Yeah, abra, I will create.
Yeah.
Kadabra, as I speak. Kadu, like this.
Like this. That's what interesting.
Like this. Abra, I will create.
Yeah.
Kadabra, when I speak.
I will create when I speak like this.
Kadu, he was about to say, you know, as I was about
Aramaic.
To
say. Aramaic. So you have to know every idiom. You got to get a good dictionary of idioms. Okay, online today, who has a dictionary? Everything is online today. Everything. Who
could come because it's the cheapest fat of the company.
You can't rely on the meat.
What?
It's the cheapest type of meat. They garnished.
That sounds like baloney.
That's where it comes from. Baloney.
What?
Okay, the baloney. Baloney is just the fat. It's not even really meat. It's not. There's no substance. It has no real. You want to learn this stuff, go online, download. There are the dictionary of idioms. It's really fascinating because, you know, the dictionary is very boring. Just one word. You have to go learn the etymology where it comes from. But an expression, an idiom, it's very interesting. It's really very. You get caught up in it. Okay, you get caught up in learning the source of all these expressions. It's fascinating. In any event, we have over here in this pasuk such an expression. We have an idiom, he'och, he'och. Okay, that appears over here in this expression. What does it mean? It means joy. It's an expression of joy. There's a technique, you know, in the army, when they march, they go on marches, they sing. They have different
chants.
I left my wife and 48 kids right in the middle of the kitchen floor. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was in camp, we used to go for hikes, and the counselor was a real late, and he had us sing that chant. You know, all these
row,
chants.
Row, row your boat, gently down the street.
All right. There are different expressions which keep you. They keep your mind occupied. They keep you in motion. And this is nothing new. He'och, he'och. Certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's a lot of mysteries. There are a lot of very, very mystical things in expressions like this that appear in Tanakh. Tanakh is not just recording nonsense; it's recording things that are very significant. But over here, they say about me, he'och, he'och. The Mitzudos David says, "Hu inyan l'shoin simcha," is an expression like by the Crusaders, "Hip hip hooray." Hip hip hooray, I'm sure that also has some meaning also. It has also some meaning what that means. But it was used when they killed Jews. It was their expression of joy. And our enemies, they say about us, he'och, he'och. Let's pass to Gizayin, Yosisu, V'yismchu, B'cha, Kol Mavakshe. Now David now transforms the Simcha. May they take joy and rejoice in you, Hashem, Kol Mavakshecha. All those that seek you, Hashem, Yoimru, Samid, May those that seek you, Hashem, may they continuously say, Yigdal Hashem. May Hashem be, may his glory be magnified. Oy havei, those who love teshu osecha. Pasuk yudches v'ani, as far as I'm concerned, oni ve'evyoin Hashem, yachashav li, I view myself as, I humble myself before you, Hashem, as an oni and an evyoin, Hashem, to you, Hashem, yachashav li ezrasi, may you consider this humility that I expressed before you, as to may you consider it as a humility where you will respond by granting me salvation. Umifalti ota Hashem al tachar. Do not delay. I'm desperate. These are very terse. Obviously, everything over here is very terse and concise, and it needs much more explanation. So now let's give it a shot. Let's now go back to Pasuk Yudalid and go over it again in the Mitzudas Rashi in as much time as we have. So Pasuk Yudalid back in the Mitzudas in the previous page. Pasuk says, Ritzei kish uchusha tirtzei ein mi yimche biyotcha. Ritzei literally means to find favor. Okay, Ritzei v'hachalitzeinu. We say this on Shabbos. May you find favor, Hashem, in our service, and may you grant us salvation. So here means Ritzei, Hashem, may be your desire. May you find, it's hard, really hard word to translate. We'd say Lashon of Rotzoin. Rotzoin means will. May you have a desire, Hashem. May you have a Rotzoin. May we be pleasing in your eyes that you should respond reciprocally with a Rotzoin. Lahat Silin, to save me. Okay, Yachad. Hashem li ezrasi chu, shall come swiftly to my salvation. Pasuk tezvav yevoshu kishiru hatzolasi. When my enemies see my success, may they be put to shame. This is the thing that we had many, many times. The best form of revenge, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is to be successful. If you have an enemy, and an enemy is trying to put you down, trying to obliterate you. So if you're immature, so what do you want to do at the end? You want to strike back. You want to strike back and hit, abuse, insult. That's immature. The way you take revenge against your enemies is to be successful. You just ignore them and succeed. And when they see your success, they burn with shame and with suffering to see that this person that they put to shame, they thought is a nobody and a piece of garbage, and tried to hurt, insult, and demoralize, and now he's on the top of the world. That's the ultimate revenge. And that's what it says over here in Mitzvos David, Yevoshu, David over here saying that Hashem would say, may be your desire to spare me, and may you swiftly come to my salvation. And that's the ultimate sweet revenge. Because then when my enemies see my success, yevoshu v'yachbaru yachad, they will be put to shame. They will then, those who seek my v'akshay nafshi l'spoiso, who want to put my neshama to an end, and next words of the mitzudos, yisoygu ochor, they will retreat. They will retreat ke adam haboish hachoyzer al akevo. A person that is put to shame, he disappears. Next. And then the next pasuk says, they're going to become, will be put to shame, not chafetzi, those who desire my ra. Pasuk says, then, yoshoimu al ekev, ke mitzudos David, yoshoimu yiyu shoimimim. They will become desolate. Ba'avur gemul schar boshtam, because of the shame, because of the punishment of shame that comes upon them, kishim evayshim oisi, when they attempted in recognition of what they did try to do to me, they tried to put me to shame. The oimrim olai he'och u'smechem l'tzerasi, when they said about me, he'och, hooray, hooray, and they rejoiced over my tzaras. Today, all these politicians, okay, you have in the news all the time, they do this all the time, is when these politicians, they say terrible, terrible, nasty threats and nasty things. And then, mahapich, and then all of a sudden,
backtrack.
All of a sudden, they're put to shame. All of a sudden, their policies and their ideas and their nastiness is revealed to the world. They were dead, dead wrong. And then all of the, you know, the talk show people, they pull out the clips. They pull out the clips of what they said, about this and about that. And they even confront them. They even confront, you know, you see the press secretary, the president of the United States. I mean, the outright blatant lies is just mind-boggling.
He's not that good at it.
Mind-boggling. I mean, listen, you live in America. She has alamiles, this woman. This woman is you can check every single box with her. Every single box you can check off.
368. I want to interrupt again. I'm sorry. Today are three big yard sites: Sephardi, Ashkenazi, and
an Isha.
The original Rebbe, the Mishra Original, the Enikel of the Magid, the yard site of Rabbi Vadi Yosef, and the yard site of Henny Machlis.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Zechusam Yogin Aleinu.
There's a big machlaikis on Google. Most of the people say it started in 1780 on the sailors. You see, call from one ship to another, hip, they were killed. But there were riots in Germany in 1819. They were called the hep riots because it's very anti-Semitic and they ran around yelling hep. And there was a shita that hep is the Rosh HaTevis for, in Latin, her Jerusalem et perdata.
What does that mean?
Jerusalem is destroyed.
Wow.
Hippipurei
was said by the Crusaders when they killed Jews.
It was even by the Romans.
The Romans, going back to the Romans. Okay, so it's a terrible expression, that expression. And here we have another one called He'och. Those who said about me, He'och, which basically means hooray. Mitzudas David on the next page, on page 370. Okay, now Pasuk Yitzayim. Pasuk Yitzayim in the Mitzudas David, Yosisu V'yismchu B'chod. Now David shifts, and David says, May the tzaddikim rejoice in you. B'cho
B'shua. It's not really a shift. It's after Hashem takes care of his enemies.
Salvation, when Hashem brings salvation. There's a cycle here almost. You know, you notice the cycle? First, their enemies are putting the tzaddikim to shame. The tzaddikim cry to Hashem, help us. Hashem helps us. They have salvation. And then the wicked are now put to shame. They're put to shame. And then the tzaddikim rejoice in the shame of the shame of the Rishayim.
And what do you do when you rejoice?
You praise Hashem.
This is a recurring theme over and over.
So look at the steps. Look at the steps. It starts off with wicked people. It's too hot.
It's cool.
It's too cold.
It's too cold. It just started to blow.
Okay, so you just came in from the cold.
System.
Okay, so we have over here, look at the cycle. It is a very interesting cycle. Look at the steps. The steps are the wicked people cause pain to the tzaddikim. They put them to shame. The tzaddik then cries out to Hashem, help me. Hashem responds and punishes the tzaddikim. The Rishon. After they're punished, then what is the punishment? How does Hashem punish? Hashem doesn't punish them. That was incorrect what I said. Hashem saves the tzaddikim. When the tzaddikim are saved, the wicked people, they are put to shame. So the shame that they try to bring upon the righteous boomerangs and comes upon them. And when the tzaddikim see how the shame that was directed to them has boomeranged and has gone upon the wicked, then the tzaddikim have great joy and they say hallel to Hashem. That's what we learned today over here. Over here, David is saying, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to put me to shame. Help me. Hashem helps David. How does Hashem help David? Not by silencing the Rishayim, but by allowing the tzaddikim to thrive. And when the wicked see that all of their plans have resulted in nothing, and the tzaddikim are correct, then memela, the rishonim are filled with shame. That's the same shame they were trying to bring upon the tzaddikim. Now it comes upon them. When the tzaddikim see, wow, look at that, the shame they tried to bring upon us has now come upon them because they witness our success, we have great joy in this revelation, and we sing to Hashem. That's Pasuk Yitzayin. Yosisu v'yismichu b'cha kol mivakshecha. Those the tzaddikim who always were faithful to Hashem and continuously said, Yoimu, they will say, Samid yigdal Hashem, oyavei tishua secha. Mitzud is David, Pasuk Yitzayin, b'cha b'shua secha, oyavei, oyavim shayavei luchem tishua al yotcha. Those who love that salvation to come to them through your hands. Yoimu Samid, may they say in the future, Yigdal Hashem, Ritzin Eloi Ma Yovei Lechem HaTeshua V'Yahalu Hashem, may salvation come to them and they should rejoice. I'll tell you a joke to lighten the mood, is that there are certain, someone told me that there was a certain person that he wanted smicha from a rabbi, and there's no way in the world this person was eligible to receive smicha. No way, but he drove the Rashiva so crazy that he wants smicha, so he said, okay, I'll give you smicha. Anyway, the student's not going to know what he wrote. You know, the smicha was handwritten. So he wrote, he's Roy Lihiyois, this person is Roy to be maybe a shamish in the shul, to put away the sidurim, to put away the fold of the talesim. The gam loymar yigdal. He also can say Yigdal Elokim Chai at the end of davening, like the children. Yigdal Elokim Chai v'yihishtabach. V'gam Roy Loimar Yigdal Yigdal. Yoimu Samid Yigdal Hashem. He can say Yigdal. He can't pask in a shayla. He doesn't know the aleph base, but he can say Yigdal. He can say after davening. The Yoimu Samid. You know, I shouldn't really joke because Yigdal. We learn. We spend time in the afternoon learning about the Ani Mamins. Okay, we spend a lot of time on this. It's a gewaldige stuff, geschmacke stuff, comparing the four versions, the four most popular versions of the Yud Gimel Ani Mamins. The Rambam did not write the Ani Mamin. The Rambam wrote in the Perush HaMishnayos and Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, he wrote the 13 principles, the 13 fundamental principles. And someone came along at some point in time and took those principles were written at much greater length and summarized them into the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And the summary is very different than what the Rambam... The summary is really very different than what the Rambam wrote. That is another version which we do not know who wrote, and that is Yigdal. Yigdal Elokim Chai is also a synopsis of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, and then there is a Svardish version, a very short version that is printed in all of the Svardish or Sidurim. So there are four different versions of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim. And by the way, the Rambam is the only one that made up 13. Many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They have three, they have 5, 10. They have a 18. There's a whole collection. I have a save that whole that goes through all of the Rishonim, all the different opinions of exactly how many Ikarim there are. The Rambam, his opinion became the most popular. There are 13 Ikarim in Emuna, and he wrote up the 13 Ikarim in the Perush HaMishnayos, and it has been adapted by different individuals over history. And we have in the back of the Sidur after Shacharis, the Yud Gimli come up, what we call Ani Mam and Emunah Shleima. And then we have the Svardish version, which is very, very concise. And then we have Yigdal. And from all of the three, the one that is the best by far is Yigdal. Yigdal is accurate to the words of the Rambam. The Yud Gimel Ikarim that are extremely popular after Shacharis and every Siddur is not faithful to what the Rambam really wrote. There's been a major shinuyim in what it says there, and it's very problematic, and we don't even know exactly who wrote it. Yigdal, that is accurate. Yigdal is much, much more accurate and true to the theme, to the a concise, poetic synopsis of what the Rambam actually wrote in the Perushan B'Shnayis. So we once spent time, we spent a couple of weeks on this to compare each exactly what the Rambam said, and then to study what it says in the Ani Mamim, to study what it says in Yigdal, and to study what it says in the Sfarisha version of this, and it's very fascinating. It brings out, you always get the good stuff comes when you compare. When you compare how different Gedolei Yisrael they express the same idea, and all the nuances of what they were thinking come forth. So here everything in the Siddur we know comes pretty much from Tanakh. And you cannot ignore that the person who was Mechaber, the one who authored Yigdal, who summarized what the Rambam wrote in Yigim Likarim, if he did not get his first words, Yigdal Elokim Chai, from this passage. Now here it says Yigdal Hashem. In Yigdal it says Yigdal Elokim. Elokim is a very different word for Hashem than Yudkei Vavkei, but there is definitely a flavor. Yomru Samid Yigdal Hashem Elokei Tishu Asecha Oyave, those who love salvation. A pasuk Yudchesli as pasuk in the Mitzvot David says, Ani v'yever, ani machni, I'm reading the Mitzvot David on page 370, towards the middle of the page. Ani machni es atzmi lefonecha ki koni v'yever, I humble myself before you, Hashem, like a poor man. V'Hashem yachashav li es ha'achno hazos lezuchos. Hashem will consider this humility. You never go wrong by being humble. It is the only midah in Perkei Avos which it says, me'oid, me'oid, hevei shefal ruach. Tamari, where does it say the word ma'od ma'od? Two times in Tanakh. Where?
Perkei Avos chapter 4.
What did she say?
Perkei Avos chapter 4.
Okay, we're in Chumash. It says in Chumash twice, ma'od ma'od. Two times.
47:27.
47 where? That's in which parsha? Where?
47 is Vayigash.
Vayigash. Vayigash? Wait, Bereishis?
I know, but she said 47. That sounds like the end of Vayigash.
Vayigash, let's see.
Vayigash.
47. Where else? Tamari, where else? Give me all the place where it says Me'od, Me'od. What is it? 47? Yeah, 47:27,
she said.
47:27. 47 Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen Vayeachzu Bo Vayifru Vayirbu Me'oid. Can anyone here do that? Mr. Marillis, can you do this? It doesn't say Me'oid Me'oid. It says Me'oid. Tamari, I want Me'oid Me'oid. Me'oid Me'oid. Vayirbu Vayirbu. No, here it says Vayeachzu Bo Vayifru Vayirbu Me'oid.
Saying that
possibly,
I knew right away.
Okay, this week's parasha. What?
Was it by
Noach? Good. You see where Noach? This week's parasha. What does it say by Noach?
This is by the brachas of Yaakov when he gave the brachas.
No, there it.
No.
What did you say?
Nine two.
Umarachem v'chitchem, no, close. V'chitchem Hashem al kol chesed v'al ofer shayim v'mkol asher tirboi v'adom v'chol yom miyedchem yitanu. Okay, it says by the marble. The marble, when the marble came down, the waters.
Yeah.
Me'oid, me'oid, where does it say?
When Yitzchak gave the brother to Yaakov instead of...
I don't think it says the me'oid, me'oid, it says me'oid, me'oid. Vayigva vayimachol hayekul etzi vayivol noach haboim.
Here,
v'hamayim govru me'oid me'oid al ha'aretz.
7:19.
V'hamayim govru me'oid me'oid. Where else?
7:19.
Where else? In Bamidbar. Where in Bamidbar does it say? In Parshas,
Noach.
You know that's over here, Noach. By the Meraglim, Shlach. Where?
13.
Oh yeah, what? 13. 19. What?
13:19.
Okay, Yud Gimel Pasuk 19. Okay, Pasuk 19. Umah ha'aretz. Asherhu yoshe ba. Hatavim raza. Umah ha'asherhu yoshe. Okay, a little bit further. Close.
Yeah.
A little bit further. Tamari, go a little bit further. A little bit further.
The report of the
Meraglim Yeshua. Me'od mo. Toivaretz me'od me'od. Okay. Let me find it. Vayisav lo ha'aretz. Shlishi. Seven. 14:7. Vayomru el kol adas b'nei Yisrael le'ma ha'aretz asher avarnu va. Okay, it says moid moid exactly those words twice in the pasuk. Let's go back over to the mitzvahs davar. We'll finish up over here. Al ta'achel ani machlis asmi lefonecha. So what was I trying to say? David says, I'm humbling myself before you. The every midah in Pirkei Avos that we learn to be a memutza. The goal is always the middle of the road. Okay, it's not good to be an extremist, not to be too much. And the only midah that's an exception, the only midah which we have a license to go to an extreme is humility. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei, shefal, ruach. All of the midahs of Pirkei Avos, the goal is to find the middle, go down the middle road.
Derech
emtsoi, don't be an extremist. The only thing where a person should be a fundamentalist is humility. I don't know if that's really the right word. It doesn't say anova. Shefal ruach. Me'oid, me'oid, hevei, shefal ruach. That's an extreme. So David here says, Hashem, I vani. I am humbling myself before you as if I am before you in Oni and in Evan. What is the difference between what? Destitute. Destitute. On Purim, each one has a mile and a chesaron. Okay, on Purim, we give matanos lo evyonim. During the year, you don't give gifts to the evyonim. You give gifts to the poor. You give tzedakah to the aniyim. What's the chilek between an ani and an evin? An ani has dignity. An ani at least, he has a home, he has clothing. He can make believe that he's like, you go to shul, you look around, everyone looks the same. Even people who are aniyim, they can't pay their rent. They're wearing nice clothing. They're wearing a $350 borsalino. You would never know. You would never have a smartphone for $1,000. iPhone 14 for $2,000. Okay, you would never know. But they live a miserable life. A miserable, miserable life because the daigus of paying the bills and collecting is just horrific. Horrific. So look at that. So therefore the person, he has a milah. What's the milah? The milah that he has is he has dignity. What's the chasarain? He's fooling the whole world. He's poor. I have dignity, but I can't survive like this. An evyon has a chasarain, that he doesn't even have clothing. He wears shmatas, he's homeless. He's on the street in a tent. So that's terrible. That's a step. But he has a milo that because he has sunk into this level, he doesn't have the daigus. He doesn't have the daigus of an ani.
No rent.
because the ani is fooling everyone. And that's torture. It's torture to make believe that you know you have dignity. I just, you know, how am I going to pay the bills? In Evyon, I don't have any bills. I'm not paying anything. I'm not paying bills to nobody. I'm on the street. Let the government come and put me in a shelter. So he doesn't have that yoch on his head, of because he. But on the other hand, he has the chesar that imamish has nothing. He has nothing. So David is destitute. So even though, you know, each one has a maila and a chesaron. And Ani has the maila of dignity, but he lives a torturous life. And Evyon doesn't live a torturous life. He gave up. He gave up on life. But on the other hand, he has nothing. He mamish has nothing to live for. He's destitute. So each one has a maila and a chesaron. David here says something that is very, very scary. Va'ani, I, before you, Hashem, I'm going to humble myself with the milos, or the chesroinos, however you want to look at it, above humbling myself before you, Hashem, like an oni and an evyain. I'm very worried. I'm gonna torture myself in having daigus of yiras shemayim. What's gonna do with my neshama? That the daigus of an oni, and also acknowledging I'm an evyain. I have nothing to show for myself. When you combine together the word oni and the evyain, it's lethal. It's lethal. Because what keeps the oni going is the dignity that he has. What keeps the evyon going is I gave up. I'm not trying anymore. So you don't have to pay bills. You don't have to. Nothing's my problem anymore. I gave up. What the oni has. Each one has a maila and a chesaron.
I thought Evyon is from Shaiva, that he wants to be like he was once.
They say Toiv Lakol, I hear that's a different shot. That's a different shot. The basic shot is he's Toiv Lakol. He doesn't have the basics. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have a shirt. He doesn't have clothing. He literally has nothing. Homeless person, he has absolutely nothing. And Ani has. It's just that he can't survive. And that drives him crazy. David HaMelech over here, he puts together the two together, Oni v'Evyon, that before you, Hashem, I'm an Oni, I have Daigus. What's going to be with my Olam Haba? What's going to be with Yiras Shamayim? What's going to be, I've done Averos, and I'm very, very worried. And Mitzat Sheni, I'm an Evyon. I don't have any merits. I have nothing, no defense, nothing to present to you. I can't even make belief that I have some zuchus, some merit to rely upon in order to survive. This is an expression here in Pasuk Yichas of the ultimate hachna before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oni ve'evyon. We have some other expressions. A tzfila la'oni ki ya'atoif. Sometimes we only focus on the word oni. There are other expressions in Tehillim where we focus on the word evyon. And here we put the two together. It's very scary when you put these two words together. Finish with Mrs. David. Vashem al ta'achel. That's it. Vashem yachshav li esachnu hazos mischus al ta'achar. Do not delay, Hashem. You beg Hashem for a swift salvation. Let's see a little bit of the Rashi's back in the previous page. Back to pasuk Yudalit. David says to Hashem, "Ritzei Hashem, may be your desire lahatzileni." Okay, there's no Rashi on this pasuk. Pasuk Tezvav Yevoshu v'yachbru yachad. May my enemies be completely thoroughly put to shame. Mevakshe nafshi lispoisa, same exact thing as the Mitzudas David, lispoisa lichaloisa, to put an end, as Rabbi Michal said, the word lispoisa, the shoresh is soif, to bring my neshama to an end. What is the targum of the word until the generation concludes? Ad desof kol dora, the end, until the generation comes to an end. Next pasuk has Zayin, Yoshoimu. So we learned in the Mitzudas that it means obliteration. Shemama. Rashi appears to disagree. Rashi says it means shak. Yoshoimu yismehu. It's a different word, a different translation. A different means that the my enemies, they should be in a state of bewilderment, of shak.
Astonishment.
Witnessing my success. When a wicked person witnesses the success of the tzaddikim, they're baffled. Al ekev boshlam, because of the embarrassment that they tried to put upon me, kishe yekablu boshlam al ekev, when they will receive shame al ekev. Now, what does it mean here? Al ekev means because of what they've done. When the shame will come upon them because of what they've done to me, I call b'mida shemadadu uvederech shaholchu limuli. Mida keneged mida. Al ekev kamo v'kvoisecho loy nodohu. Your footsteps are not known. Tzi'ilach b'ikve hatzon. Go in the footsteps of the sheep. Kulam l'shoin midrach kaf regel. Hey, footsteps. Okay, so al ekev. Now, Rabbi Chol, what does that mean over here? What's this word over here? Tough.
Which one?
The both words.
Trandish.
No, which Hebrew word are we looking at?
Nikvose?
Al ekev boshtam.
Yeah, okay. So the word is, I guess it's pronounced tros, or it would, in, in, if you were reading it, you would say traces or footprints.
Footprints. Okay, footprints. Al Akev, and the, what's the next word?
As in traces, meaning footprints.
Okay, right? The next word, Al Akev.
The next word, yeah, the next word, that's very easy, actually. Ponce. You know, to, it means, in modern French, it would be pense, to think, like pensive in English.
There, what does that mean in English?
P-N-S-E is think.
Their think, the way their plans.
Think of my poverty.
Okay, so what he's saying over here, I'm not sure if in Mitzudas David, it seems that there's a disagreement. It seems that the Rashi and the Mitzudas are learning differently, to a degree. According to Rashi, the word Akev literally means footsteps. It means their derech hachayim. My enemies took an approach to life. Their approach to life was to humiliate me, is to put me down, to silence me, to get rid of me. And now they witness my success. And when they witness my success, all of the nasty things, the silencing, the nastiness, what they wanted to do to me, it now comes upon them. Isn't it amazing in the news, such bushuch lima, all the top executives of Twitter. Okay, Elon, I read the news yesterday, it's really it's an amazing, it's an astonishing thing. Elon Musk, he finally
wanted to buy the FBI. But
he finally bought Twitter. $44 billion. $44 billion. So the people, so the top four people, he said, are fired. And they were escorted out of the building. Now, I don't understand something. Didn't they know, if the deal was imminent, they shouldn't have been there to begin with.
True.
It seems to a degree, first of all, don't worry about them. They got 25, one got $25 million, the other one, severance packages. They have more money for the severance packages, and they've made already more money than most people have for multiple lifetimes. Okay, so that's all about. But yet, despite the fact that they have so much money, they don't know what to do with themselves, these people, it is an amazing busha. The entire world, there is no part of this world that doesn't know about this, heard, read, like little yukel me over here, that he came into Twitter, he came in there, and he,
the sink, that was before,
and he fired them. The word was, they're fired,
right.
You're fired. And they were in the facility, and they were, immediately their computers were locked, and no changes could be made to the algorithms, and they were escorted from the building. That's a nusach you hear in a movie. Okay, you hear that nusach like in a movie, right? That there's some shocking revelation, and the people who are just without any warning, they were fired, and they came with security, and they were removed from the building. It's amazing. That's exactly what happened to them. In other words, if you read carefully the articles, they didn't expect it. These people,
seriously, they didn't.
One of them for sure not. One of the women for sure. She said she's tweeted herself a day that she spoke to Musk, and she looks forward. And he basically misled her to think that he's going to keep her on. He's not going to throw them out so quickly. There's going to be a gentle, like, you know, in America, you don't get fired, you retire. You want to spend time with your family, right? Isn't that the classic? A politician, you know, I'm working so hard. Leave that. I want to spend time with my family. Baloney. Whenever you hear that, I mean, it means they were fired. And it's a way to, you know, a saving, a way to take away the shame. It is shocking. So she sent out this very happy, one of those four people is very happy, a tweet that I spoke to Musk and we were discussing all of the issues and I look forward to this. And all of a sudden yesterday, he really was mevazer her in front of the entire world. You're fired. You are fired. Get out of the building. This is the beginning. Just the beginning. It's an amazing revelation. It's amazing. You think we live in a modern world where things like this can't happen, you know? We'll let you leave with dignity. We're going to give you a very nice service package. We're first going to make you the rabbi emeritus. And then, little by little, the chair will move from this part of the school to that part of the school to outside the building, you know? And then goodbye, good riddance. There is a technique that is used in this world to avoid the busha. I can't get over this. The incredible. I'm not here to go discuss politics because not everyone has their own dais.
Yeah,
but Elon Musk has a dais that there's something called freedom of speech, and he it's very, very fascinating what he writes, how he writes, what he says, and his love for humanity, his love and this approach of permanently silencing people who want to express their ideas, he feels is fundamentally criminal to this world. And he writes that he did this l'shem shamayim, and he did not hold back by publicly being mevaze in the greatest way possible the four top people who control this platform, which has incredible influence over this world, with nuschois that you only hear about in the movies. You're fired, and they were escorted from the building. Their terminals were locked. It's incredible. He was able to go and lead them the wrong way, to mislead them, that they're going to stay on for a tekufa, and
I see. So they wouldn't sabotage everything.
Yeah. So they wouldn't play with their computers.
In advance.
There are plenty of other people that can sabotage everything. Don't worry about it. They already wrote in the articles that already a few weeks ago they were all told, whistleblowers, they were told to delete all the files, all the records. They were all told that already.
You can't delete it because they have memory. It doesn't make sense.
That's the question. Yeah. No one really knows the story.
If you delete it, then you open yourself to a criminal and a civil.
It's an amazing. And we're reading over here today, Hashgacha Pratis, what it says over here, Yoshoimu al Ekev Boshtam, Ha'oimrim li Ha'och. It's an incredible thing over here. What it says over here is that according to Rashi, we'll start with this. Rashi over here says the word al Ekev means people have chosen to take upon themselves a derech in life. When it says Ekev, Ekev means footsteps. There are people who have chosen to follow a path in life. These are their footsteps. This is their derech of life. And now, Dalit is being misspelled. They should be in a state of timahon. Shock. No, this is not a shocking thing. This is not a busha. Despite the $25 million, the $14 million that they receive, the busha in front of the entire world, I don't even know these people, this community of people, but all the people in this community of these multi-billionaires of Google, Twitter, and Facebook, they all these names, it's an incredible busha. You can't even be masik on these people in their little world. It's a busha that is beyond belief, and it is mamish, a fulfillment of what it says in this pasuk. They're mamish in a state of timahon, of shock, that someone has come along and said to them, your derech of life, your footsteps of taking people, these are the most powerful people in the world, and putting them to shame. Whether you agree with Trump or not agree with Trump, whether you like him or you hate him, he's the president of the United States. And to make a decision that you're permanently censored, you're banned, your account has been permanently banned, you put the President of the United States to shame. Mm-hmm. It's a haloi dover. Haloi dover who? Mm-hmm. Is that a small thing? He was elected by a country, 320 million people, they elected him. And here you have, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want, it's a private company. But you have a person that was elected by a country of 320 million people, who is the superpower of the world, and you decide to be mevaze him, Berabim, to permanently delete his account because you don't agree with him. And Kahanev, hundreds if not thousands of extremely powerful people, we don't agree with you, you mavaza them. And here, look what happened. It boomeranged on them. Exactly. Yesterday, they received the ultimate shame, and it was done with such chachma. Such chachma. You're fired, and they are now being escorted by security from the building. You only hear this in the movies.
Standard procedure.
No, I told you.
The last word of Rashi is Halalim Beidenu. What is Beidenu?
Wait, which Rashi?
We'll talk about it.
Kishitablu Boshtam, when they receive their shame, Al Ekev, because of their way of life, their footsteps in life, your derech of life, of putting to shame other people, has now boomeranged and come upon you. Hakol B'midah Shemadudu. The midah connecting with you put people to shame, Now you are being put to shame. Uvederech shaholchu lumuli, the corrupt path that you have walked opposite me, in other words, against me. You walk against me to put me to shame. I, Hashem, I will now put you to shame. Mida keneged mida. Al Ekev, according to Rashi, means footsteps. Your derech achayim. Kimoy vikvaysechel loy no odu. Your footsteps are not affirm. No other means to stand firm. Atem need no other. Let's do with that. See the bivyat song. Rashi kulam l'shon midrach kaf regel. Mitzudas David does not say that. Mitzudas David says the word ekev means because vehayo ekev tishmeun. If only you will listen. Again, that's a drasha. Ekev l'shon of the mitzvah shadam dosh ba'kevav. But Mitzudas David is not translating the word ekev to mean footsteps. He means ekev means because of. Because of the, and according to him, it's the same idea. Because you put other people to shame, now you will suffer that shame yourself. We witness this. Hashkaka pos. We witness. Is this the Jewish way? Jewish way? Not muchroch. Is this the Jewish way? If you were shomer Torah mitzvahs and you Elon Musk was a shomer Torah mitzvahs and he would go to his rabbi and there, should I go be mevaze these people by misleading them, not telling them, I obviously had a conversation with them which misled them to believe that they're not going to be fired instantly. There's going to be a process of transition. You need the old crew to stay on for a little bit and have a smooth transition. You give them a nice severance package, mm-hmm. You go and you put them in a different role, and then eventually they just disappear. Right? No, it's not like a name of Stas, it's dignity. That's the way of the world today.
No, but the other way around, to do it.
Oh, right. So is it, or can you say these people are such Rishoyim? How do you look at it? Or do you say these people are such Rishoyim? Adorab, this is what you do with them. This is the proper thing to do with them. What they have done is not so pashut. Just because these people are, it's a private company, and you're allowed to do, you know, there's something called ethics. And Twitter, although it's private, you know, it's something in the whole world. You know, here in the Dalai Lama Shul, the base medrash, we don't really appreciate these things. We don't focus. But in the world, it's not so pashut. And what taka would be a halacha psuka from a Sanhedrin, a Bezdin? Is this mahalich what Elon Musk did to these four top people to be mivazeh them in front of the whole world? Is this das Torah? Or no? This is not the proper way to conduct yourself. I don't know what the answer is, because you have to understand. You have to know what the crimes are. Are they crimes? Maybe they're not crimes. Everyone has a different. You know, I'm not fluent enough in politics and to understand. You know, all the complexity of this matter. There are certainly people that I know that will tell you that these four people, the rishus of the mahalik of what they've done in the world, the attitude, the take upon yourself as a private person to go against the whole world. Okay, who are you? Who are you to decide? There's democracy. There are countries. Who are you to go? And just because you have the ability, the world has been structured in such a way where a few people have such control. Who gives you the right? Is that ethically correct? The power is in information. It's not. It's no joke. It's no joke. It's no joke. What has happened? So who says that what they have done is not what he has done to them is not correct? I don't know. It's a very, very complicated world out there. We're going to stop and take a short break and then a little bit on the parasha. Oh, it's late.